Greetings. Thank you all for returning. We extend a warm welcome to all our new listeners here for the first time. I am Pastor John, welcoming our global audience of unchurched, self-study people, as well as those who are part of a church. For anyone looking for greater depths in God's Word, thank you all for listening. May you all be blessed of God. I just want to make a quick salutation. May everyone enjoy this Easter holiday as Resurrection Sunday for all those who celebrate it. May God bless you and keep you, and may this be a year of great things that come to you through the Lord. May you all be blessed. Last week we learned, no matter where you live, you can look around and see the blessings given by Christ are not accepted by all. If the many blessings of Christ were received by all, the world would be a very much different place. We also noted that everyone can partake of the new life. This is a place that even judgment cannot reach, meaning we will not be judged as those who are unsaved will be. This happens because the result of Adam's single sinful deed extends to all people. This primarily refers to the one who belongs to Adam, the one who is unconverted, who will be judged. This gives us a result for disobedience and obedience. All human beings are born from Adam despite his death. We are descendants of. To find out more, listen to our previous episode titled The Amplification of Justification, Part 3, posted on March 24th. This week, our study is titled The Believer's Freedom from Sin's Domination, Part 1. Our scripture reads, What shall we say then? Are we to remain in sin so that grace may increase? Absolutely not! How can we, who died to sin, still live in it? Or do you not know that as many as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too live a new life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, we will certainly also be united in the likeness of his resurrection. We know that our old man was crucified with him so that the body of sin would no longer dominate us, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For someone who has died has been freed from sin. From Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. What is the point of this examination? While different, it is a good Easter message for us. We have been leading to this by building a strong foundation for this part of our podcast series to stand on. I have not given an Easter podcast in the last couple of years, at least. Now, with the world issues headed to fulfilling prophecies, I think this message series is right on time and very needed. With that preface, here is what we will be looking at in this scripture passage, as we continue our Easter series past the holiday. The argument commenced in this chapter is continued through the two following. The general design is the same, to show that the scheme of justification which God had adopted does not lead men to sin, but, on the contrary, to holiness. This is introduced by answering an objection. The apostle pursues this subject by various arguments and illustrations, all tending to show that the design and bearing of the scheme of justification was to produce the hatred of sin and the love and practice of holiness. From Barnes, New Testament Notes. Now, verse 1 reads, "What shall we say then? Are we to remain in sin so that grace may increase?" Two very good questions that need answers. In this chapter, the argument is mainly drawn from the following sources. 1. From the baptism of Christians by which they have professed to be dead to sin and to be bound to live to God. Romans chapter 6, verses 2 through 13. 2. From the fact that they were now the servants of God and under obligation by the laws of servitude to obey Him. Romans chapter 6, verses 15 through 20. 3. From their former experience of the evil of sin, from its tendency to produce misery and death, and from the fact that by the gospel they had been made ashamed of those things and had now given themselves to the pure service of God. By these various considerations, he repels the charges that the tendency of the doctrine was to produce licentiousness, but affirms that it was a system of purity and peace. The argument is continued in the two following chapters, showing still further the purifying tendency of the gospel. From Barnes, New Testament Notes. Let us dig deeper to fully understand what our Bibles are telling us. What shall we say then? This is a mode of presenting an objection. The objection refers to what the apostle had said in Romans chapter 5, verse 20. What shall we say then to such a sentiment as that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound? Shall we continue in sin? If sin has been the occasion of grace and favor, ought we not to continue in it and commit as much as possible in order that grace might abound? This objection the apostle proceeds to answer. He shows that the consequence does not follow and proves that the doctrine of justification does not lead to it. From Barnes, New Testament Notes. Notice this last comment. This is very important to note thus far. In this discussion, in Romans, he shows that the consequence does not follow and proves that the doctrine of justification does not lead to it. Meaning, if the gospel has a purifying tendency, then one is to presume the charge that the tendency of the doctrine was to produce licentiousness. In modern speak, we are not to presume a free ride into glory. While that is not an untruth, we are asked to work for a reward loosely spoken of in the book of Revelation. Understand, while it has a better description in the book of Revelation, even there, it is not fully explained. We are taught enough to know for sure that our life here will be rewarded. How great will our reward be if we simply slide through to the end in what is called licentiousness? First, let us understand what the definition of the word licentiousness is. Excessive indulgence of liberty, contempt of the just restraints of law, morality, and decorum. From Noah Webster's 1828 Dictionary of American English. Now, let us rephrase that sentence with the word meaning instead. How great will our reward be if we simply slide through to the end in excessive indulgence of liberty, contempt of the just restraints of law, morality, and decorum? This is what is being pointed out to us. Many people live this way to any degree of it. However, when we become saved in Christ, a better means of acting with others is better, but even intended, but not required. The more we do not to live in a better way, the less of a reward we will receive when that time comes. For more explanation, read the parable of the man with the one talent, frequently titled The Parable of the Talents, found in Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. See what happened to the man with only one talent. It was not good. It demonstrates that even the simple things have their reward in Jesus. Being truly ignorant of this one thing, but choosing to ignore such a thing is a completely different subject. Pretending ignorance is not a good thing. Verse 2 reads with one more question. Absolutely not. How can we who died to sin still live in it? For continuity, verses 1 and 2 read, what shall we say then? Are we to remain in sin so that grace may increase? Absolutely not. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Clearly, we are not to remain in sin despite the false sense that Scripture is telling us that by how it reads to the modern mind. However, verse 2 asks us an important question. How can we who died to sin still live in it? What we will see is the answer to that question is no. There are two fairly long explanations to further our solid understanding of what Scripture really is telling us. First, that are dead to sin, that is, all Christians. To be dead to a thing is a strong expression denoting that it has no influence over us. A man that is dead is uninfluenced and unaffected by the affairs of this life. He is insensible to sounds and tastes and pleasures, to the hum of business, to the voice of friendship, and to all the senses of commerce, gaiety, and ambition. When it is said, therefore, that a Christian is dead to sin, the sense is that it has lost its influence over him. He is not subject to it. He is in regard to that as the man in the grave is to the busy scenes and cares of this life. The expression is not infrequent in the New Testament. Galatians chapter 2, verse 19, for I am dead to the law. Colossians chapter 3, verse 3, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, who bear our sins, that we, being dead to sin, etc. The apostle does not here attempt to prove that Christians are this dead, nor to state in what way they became so. He assumes the fact without argument. All Christians are thus, in fact, dead to sin. They do not live to sin, nor has sin dominion over them. The expression used here by the apostle is common in all languages. We familiarly speak of a man's being dead to sensual pleasures, to ambition, etc., to denote that that they have lost their influence over him. From Barnes, New Testament Notes. In that commentary passage, there are three things we want to more fully note for clarification and understanding. With regard to being dead, we are not talking about that final event in life where a person dies and no longer is with their family, friends, and others. We are learning about spiritual death. Again, we are learning about spiritual death. In other words, dead to sin. To be dead to a thing is a strong expression denoting that it has no influence over us. A man that is dead is uninfluenced and unaffected by the affairs of this life. It should be noted that this is where confusion enters into this discussion. By example, it would seem it is not right to be a wealthy person. That is not what is being said here. If you desire to be rich and allow it to consume many, if not all, your waking hours, then yes, being rich is sinful. Many people who seek to be rich will do most anything to get rich. Again, this is where the love of money is a bad thing. Notice this Bible verse. Because people love money, they do all kinds of wrong things. Some people have stopped believing in God because they want money so much, and it brings them many troubles. From the Bible in Worldwide English. Simply put, this verse says nothing about people being rich as being sinful. In fact, our Bibles are full of rich people, Old Testament and New Testament. Some are good people and others are not. So, notice how the Bible in Worldwide English opens this verse. Because people love money, they do all kinds of wrong things. We are called to love God, not money. The wrong things they do are generally what a person does to increase what they have, no matter how grand the amount is in their present possession. We should also note the second sentence. Some people have stopped believing in God because they want money so much. I think that no further explanation is required. That verse says it all very clearly. This verse also tells us what the end result is. It brings them many troubles. Do you remember our comment we were examining? For clarity, it read, to be dead to a thing is a strong expression denoting that it has no influence over us. A man that is dead is uninfluenced and unaffected by the affairs of this life. The second item of interest in this point. When it is said, therefore, that a Christian is dead to sin, the sense is that it has lost its influence over him. He is not subject to it. He is in regard to that as the man in the grave is to the busy scenes and cares of this life. Using our wealth analogy, this tells us, whether rich or poor, money, wealth, has lost its influence over us. We are no longer subject to wealth as we previously may have been. We, in regard to riches, wealth, money, are like a man or woman in the grave while the busy scenes and cares of life go by us. Lastly, we should note, all Christians are thus, in fact, dead to sin. They do not live in sin, nor has sin dominion over them. The expression used here by the apostle is common in all languages. We familiarly speak of a man's being dead to sensual pleasures, to ambition, etc., to denote that they have lost their influence over him. Simply, this means we are as dead to many things that before our conversion to Christ, we sinfully aspired to with reasonable success that pushed us onward to get more. Again, having wealth is not sinful. How we obtain that wealth may well be sinful. Remember, because people love money, they do all kinds of wrong things. Some people have stopped believing in God because they want money so much, and it brings them many troubles. The Bible in Worldwide English. In closing, this commentary passage from Barnes New Testament Notes closes this study nicely this week. How shall we, who have become sensible of the evil of sin and who have renounced it by solemn profession, continue to practice it? It is therefore abhorrent to the very nature of the Christian profession. The best way to silence objections is, sometimes, to show that they violate the feelings of all Christians, and that therefore the objection must be wrong. Next week, our episode is titled The Believer's Freedom from Sin's Domination, Part 2. We will seek the answer to this question. As many as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. How does that work? To find out more, join us next week. Play or download our episodes from one of our podcast hosts, or follow direct links to these platforms on our website under the podcast menu item. Details follow. All Bible quotes without a citation are from the New English Translation Free Version. We greatly appreciate our audience. We look forward to the return of all our faithful listeners, followers, and new listeners. Thank you all so much. We are very pleased to serve a diverse international audience. Please share our podcast with family, friends, and others you believe would find it a blessing. This study podcast is a wholly self-funded outreach presented by the Church of the Unchurched, an all-electronic, Boston-based outreach uniting the community of lost, searching, lonely, and forgotten in Christ. If you are visiting for the first time, welcome and God bless you. If you are unsaved, we truly hope you find God as well as receiving Him as Lord and Savior of your life. Please find a short link to our episode titled How to Be Saved at the bottom of any episode description. To learn more about us and who we are, give our episode titled Introduction, About Us, Who We Are, a listen. In that episode, you will learn more about us, who we are reaching out to, our mission, vision, ministry, and more. Again, a short link to this episode is found at the bottom of any episode description. Find our website at https://thechurchoftheunchurched.org. Please type the Church of the Unchurched as a single word with no hyphens or spaces in unchurched. Also, because we are on a very secure European server, be sure you type the lead https://, as it is required. Be sure you include it in any bookmark you make. This will prevent security load errors. Our site is mobile, tablet, and desktop compliant. Our site also has links to many of our podcast platforms under the podcast menu item. We are found on podcast platforms like iTunes, Google Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, and Spotify, to name a few. We refresh all our feeds with every weekly episode upload on Sundays, East Coast Time, USA. These sites update our feed within 24 hours of our refresh. Our RSS feed is syndicated on many popular podcast RSS feed platforms. Find us on a preferred platform to follow us as we continue to grow. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Romans chapter 8, verses 38 through 39. Until next week, this is Pastor John for the Church of the Unchurched.